Blog Talk Radio.
Big game tonight. Between the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers. A game seven on a Labor Day weekend. And it's do or die. It's do or die time now for the New York Islanders. A team that is very well coached by Barry Trotz. A team that loves to play that grinding style. Make sure they finish their checks, play the system to a T, and try to grind you down. And in many aspects, they have outplayed the Philadelphia Flyers. And but yet, here are the Flyers, coached by Alain Vigneault, who is facing Barry Trotz, a familiar opposing coach. They faced off against each other in 2015 in the same second round. The teams were a little different. It was Trotz coaching the Washington Capitals, and it was Alain Vigneault coaching the New York Rangers. And it was Vigneault prevailing, his team so resilient, coming back and rallying from a 3-1 series deficit. Aforementioned before, Game 5, where Rangers were very close to elimination in Game 5 at home at MSG, a game I was at. Chris Kreider from Derek Stepan to tie the game late, and McDonough winning that one in overtime. The Rangers hanging on for dear life in Game 6 against the Caps after they had a big lead, where they basically relied on Lundqvist. And then the classic Game 7, a game won by the Rangers 2-1 in overtime. Derek Stepan was the hero off of faceoff. And I can still remember that call by Doc Emmerich, and my family was at that game. But these are different circumstances. They're different teams. It's 5 years later. Trotz, the coach of the New York Islanders. Alain Vigneault, the coach of the Philadelphia Flyers, or whatever, ever thought that for both guys. Trotz winning a Stanley Cup with the Caps a couple of years ago. And now he's been sucking up the Islanders, and they're in the playoffs again in the second round. They're trying to do something they haven't done in 27 years. Which is go to a conference final. And it all comes down to one game. Alain Vigneault goes from the New York Rangers and decides to go to the Philadelphia Flyers, and it seemed like an odd hire at the time. But you can start thinking about it when they signed Kevin Hayes, and you're looking at their roster, and you're like, you know what? This could work. It could work. And so these are different circumstances, and the Philadelphia Flyers are trying to complete a comeback from 3-1 down. Alain Vigneault is the only coach in NHL history to guide a team to 3-1 series, back-to-back comebacks from 3-1 down. So this is familiar territory for both guys. The odd part is the Flyers have won all three of the games that have gone to sudden death. That includes game two. That includes games five and six, including the double overtime winner from Ivan Provorov on a great setup by Kevin Hayes. Kevin Hayes has been the most consistent Flyer, to be honest. He leads them in scoring. He has played very well. Him and Konechny basically play together. Travis Konechny still doesn't have a goal. I don't know if that's good or bad for the New York Islanders, but this is a New York Islanders team that made 25 playoff appearances, proud history, you know, the four straight Stanley Cups that they won in the 80s from 1980 to 83. And it started in 80 when they beat the Flyers with Bobby Nyström scoring the winner in game six and sudden death in double overtime. This time it was the Flyers prevailing in double overtime. And the biggest reason the Flyers are here is Carter Hart, a very cool, calm, second-year poised goaltender of the Philadelphia Flyers, has really gotten the job done. He has been excellent. And the New York Islanders, they were up 3-1. They seemed to outplay the Flyers in the last game. They had the shock edge. They led, I think it was 42-17 after regulation. But the Flyers were opportunistic. There were some Islander breakdowns. Varlamov did allow a goal to James Vanderbeek, which made it 2-0 Flyers, which was a goal he probably should have stopped. And then the Islanders came back and scored three straight goals, and you're thinking, well, after Barzal scores with 30 seconds left in the second period, the Islanders are going to do it. They're going to eliminate the Flyers. They're going to go to their first conference final since 1993. And instead, it was Scott Laughton who had other ideas. He was the game five hero on the deflection, on the beautiful deflection of a point shot. And Scott Laughton's been a pretty key factor for the Philadelphia Flyers. And he's been centering that first line with Claude Giroux, who has picked up his play. Had a goal and an assist in that same game. Had an assist in the last game. Made some good defensive plays in the overtime. So what's going to happen tonight? What's going to happen after the Kentucky Derby on NBC at about 7:40 when they face off? What is the final game of the Toronto bubble? Because the conference finals and the Stanley Cup final are going to be played exclusively in Edmonton. We already know the Vegas Golden Knights will be there taking on the Dallas Stars. As those two teams prevented their opponents from coming back, from rallying from a 3-1 series deficit. Patrick Demko, we can't say enough about him. Amazing performance by him. And the Stars overcoming a little bit of themselves as they come back to beat the Colorado Avalanche in what was a great series, a phenomenal series. And who would have ever thought, you know, they would wind up with a hat trick in a game from an unknown guy, unknown kid, winds up with a hat trick, and including the game winner in sudden death on a really nice setup. And I'm talking about, of course, Joel Kiviranta, a guy, I don't know, 24 years old from Andre Sekera, breakdown of coverage there by Colorado. Maybe the injuries were too much to overcome, even though Kadri stepped up, Nemestikov stepped up, and oddly enough, Nathan MacKinnon, who was just unbelievable during the postseason, and he did not record a single point in this game. But this is all tonight is all about the New York Islanders, really. I mean, I don't think in franchise history they've ever blown a 3-1 series deficit. So, I mean, I don't know, that could be good, that could be a bad omen. And you look at the fact that Vigneault has guided two teams to comebacks, and maybe the Flyers don't deserve to be here in this Game 7, considering how badly outplayed they were, but they played a much better two overtimes, and they certainly earned it. Outshot 9-6 in the first overtime. Carter Hart stopping and denying Brock Nelson on a breakaway. Made another stop on a 2-on-1, making a sliding save, closing the 5-hole. Wow. And he's very poised. He is a very poised goaltender, and he is the best goalie in this series, and that presents a problem. Now, how much of a problem will it be? Now, here's a question for Barry Trotz. Does he go to Thomas Greiss? Thomas Greiss, who made 36 saves in the back-to-back situation between games 3 and 4, when Greiss was outstanding and putting the Islanders up in a commanding 3-1 lead where it looked like they were going to run away with it. Does he maybe go to Thomas Greiss with Varlamov maybe not as sharp? Or does he stick with Varlamov, who has done most of the heavy lifting? An interesting question. He did say to Molly Walker up in your pulpit there, hinted about lineup changes. What will those changes be? That's a very interesting question. I don't think Derek Brassard's going to come out because he's been playing well. Scored a goal in the last game, had a goal and an assist in game 5, and has been playing very well since he got reinserted into the lineup. So I don't know if this is so much about the skaters. I don't think it's about that. It could be about the goaltender. So does Thomas Greiss give them the best chance? It's a great question. But I think more importantly, it's really about, you know, when it comes down to a Game 7 situation, it's about those battles. You have to think this is going to be tightly contested. There are going to be a lot of battles all over the ice. And that's the way the overtimes were played between the Flyers and Islanders. The Flyers did hold the 8-2 shot edge in the second overtime, and that's where they took control. And that's where Kevin Hayes made a great play after Scott Mayfield broke his stick, a broken twig when he was about to take a shot. And that resulted in Kevin Hayes just making a great play, hanging on to the puck, drawing Barzal deep, and for Mayfield hustling back into the play with his new stick and somehow finding the seam for Ivan Provorov, who fired a shot through traffic, a seeing eye shot that beat Semyon Varlamov. And here we are. It is 3-3. A very strange series indeed when you think about the Islanders' domination. They've won all 3 of the games in regulation. They've had a lot of territory edge at 5-on-5. They've even had the edge in power play. The Flyers have not scored on the power play. The power play has been abysmal. They had 2 of them in overtime, and one of them they were penalized for, so which gave the Islanders a little bit of a power play. So what is going to happen tonight? Who's going to play the hero? Matt Barzal certainly looked really good. He looked dangerous throughout the series. Didn't seem to be showing any issues in the last game. Dangerous throughout, a goal and an assist after being cut near the eye. Shokatori probably not going to be available with the, I don't know if it's the leg or the knee or what the injury is. I'm not expecting him to play. Vigneault, he brought in Oscar Lindblom, survivor of bone cancer. Oscar Strong, and you have to think that was an inspiration for the Philadelphia Flyers. And you have to give Vigneault credit. Yes, he's made some interesting coaching decisions, that failed challenge, which led to the Islanders scoring 2 straight goals. Made some crazy decisions, but yeah, AV was actually pretty pumped up when his team got the winner. When Provorov scored that winner, he was pumped. And why not? How could you not love this scenario? This is what playoff hockey is all about, is Game 7. And anytime it's NHL overtime in any game, it's great. It's great theater. You just don't know who's going to step up. Is it Claude Giroux's time? Or maybe Jake Voracek? He's been very quiet for the Philadelphia Flyers. Their Niemstein has been good since he came back into the Flyers lineup. Or maybe it's Brock Nelson, who hit a post and also stopped on a breakaway. Maybe it's Josh Bailey for the New York Islanders. Or it could be Pajot, who knows a thing or two about these games with the Ottawa Senators and getting to a conference final and destroying the Rangers. And tough memory for me. So, you don't know. Maybe it's the grind line with Casey Cizikas. Maybe he has a goal on him. We've seen Matt Martin score. We've seen Cal Clutterbuck factor in. Or maybe it's one of the Islanders' blue liners, whether it's Devin Toews, or maybe it's somebody else, like Ryan Pulak, who's been pretty quiet, not hitting the net, or Jordan Eberle, who can't seem to find anything. You just don't know what's going to happen later tonight. and a game that starts in a little over 5 hours as we go into a little extra. This is all about who wants it more. And look, I think that you're going to see two teams leave it all on the ice. This is not going to be like what happened with the Canucks, who ran out of gas against the Vegas Golden Knights, who were the better team. If that's what Demko just didn't stand on his head. He made 98 consecutive saves. They could not seem to beat him. And finally, it was a power play, and it was Shea Theodore, who has been Vegas Golden Knights' leading scorer, has been their best player, on a power play 5 seconds in after the Canucks blew a 5-minute major and also a 2-minute power play. And in 7 minutes, seven combined minutes of power play time, they got 2 shots on goal. And they had, I think, 6 through 2 periods. And they played a back-to-back, and they exhausted themselves. And I think they were exhausted mentally and physically. And I just think Vegas took advantage of that. Even though the Canucks did at least throw 8 shots on net against Robin Leonard, just not enough of an attack there. Stars in Colorado was a great game 7. There were twists and turns. I mean, 1 second you're thinking the Stars are going to pull this out. They had found their game in the third period, and Radulov with the deflection, and then the Mestikov puts the Colorado Avalanche up on a rebound with less than 4 minutes remaining. And then Mestikov gets the second goal. But 10 seconds later, they allow a rebound. They left Cavaranta, who was inserted into the game because Cogliano couldn't go. And he ties the game 10 seconds later. And that just says the Colorado defense just wasn't good enough for Eric Johnson. And they did have some injuries, and they were on their third-string goalie, who I don't think did a bad job in the game. And I don't think he did a bad job when he came in. Michael Hutchinson was looking fine for his third straight win. And maybe it was just too much for them to rally from 3-1 deficit with some of those guys out. They were close, but close doesn't cut it. And it's the same thing with the Canucks, who certainly were re-energized by a miraculous Thatcher Demko. And that's the thing about these series. You know, 3-1 comebacks are tough. They're hard. They certainly are. But are the Islanders going to be the one team that led 3-1 to become all victim to a team that could come back from 3-1 down? That's the question. The New York Islanders have a proud history. They haven't had a lot of history in the postseason since 1993. I don't really count 94 because the Rangers wiped the turf with them. They beat them in 4 straight. They killed them in those games. It was like 20-4, 20-5, or whatever they outscored them by. 18-6, I think, if I'm not mistaken. But 18-4. And 94, and then they went all those postseasons without it. And then they were in the postseason for 3 straight years. In the early 2000s, and always getting eliminated in the first round under Laviolette twice, and under Steve Sterling, and they never should have replaced Laviolette. Laviolette would go on to win a cup with the Carolina Hurricanes. And then, same thing, Ted Dolan got them into the playoffs, and they lost in the first round. In the John Tavares era, they didn't have too much success. They lost first round twice under Capiano, who did a decent job. And then finally Tavares' heroics against the Florida Panthers, the tying goal and the overtime winner. And the New York Islanders advanced to their second round since that 93 run. A run that's around it. The fight of Glenn Healy, Pierre Turgeon, even though the injuries to Pierre Turgeon, thanks to Dale Hunter and the cheap shot heard around the world, that cost them. Ray Ferraro, David Volek, who was the hero against the Pittsburgh Penguins, the two-time defending champs, Patrick Flatley, Yuri Krupp. These are some of the names from that team. Darius Kasparaitis, Vladimir Malakov, and Benoit Hogue. That team was pretty good, actually. Team that made their little run there. They had some real good players. This is their second straight year in the second round. Last year, they took apart the Pittsburgh Penguins. This time, it was the Washington Capitals, Kropp's former team, where they just took care of them in five games. And then last year, they just didn't match up with the Carolina Hurricanes, and they got swept. So, but this time, they look like the better team. They seem to be the better team. They seem to forecheck better. They're defensively better. They get structurally better than the Flyers. Flyers, sometimes they do leave those gaps, and that's why Carter has to make some really crazy saves. And yeah, like I said, he's a very poised goaltender. You might want to give that goaltending edge to the Philadelphia Flyers. I mean, it's very interesting, though. Carter Hart's a young guy. How is he going to react to this situation? These are all good questions. And will Barry Trotz decide, you know, maybe we should go to Thomas Greiss? Thomas Greiss. This could be the final game for Thomas Greiss in the New York Islander. He's been a solid goaltender. He has been a solid goaltender for them since he came over. And I think it was when he used to be a backup for the Sharks. And he's always put up solid numbers, except for 1 year with the New York Islanders. And he hasn't made many starts, but he did play very well a week ago. So that's an interesting decision for Barry Trotz. Will he decide that Thomas Greiss gives him his team's best option for a deciding do-or-die scenario? It's a great, great question. Obviously, in a Game 7, you want to limit mistakes, limit the turnovers. There were a lot of giveaways in the last game from both teams. There were breakdowns. You want to not take as many penalties, not be in the penalty box. This series has not been a lot of power plays in this series. I'm sure the Islanders would prefer to play 5-on-5 because I think they are the better team at 5-on-5. Andy Green has certainly provided a lot of good defense, a lot of good experience, and a lot of grit. Makes a lot of key defensive plays for this team, replacing Johnny Boychuk in the lineup, who's always been a good, solid citizen, a former cup winner with the Boston Bruins, who might have seen their final run come to an end because Cherry might not play the Bruins again. He wants to come back, though, but the Bruins, their window might be over, so who knows if they got eliminated by the Lightning in five games. You know, that there were a couple of great games there, including the final one, which went two overtimes. So, this is a chance for the New York Islanders to do something they haven't done since it was the Wales Conference Final. And to me, it still is the Wales Conference Trophy. It's still the Wales Trophy. That's what's still presented. The Prince of Wales Trophy that's presented. So, just remember that as well. That's if you win. If you actually advance to the Stanley Cup Final. So, to me, technically, they're trying to advance to the Wales Conference Final. The Lightning, a well-rested Lightning team awaits a team that looks very determined, looks excellent, and that's without Steven Stamkos. And they just got McDonough back. And Braden Point is playing Conn Smythe for the hockey. Andre Palat is scoring big goals. Kucherov was looking like a factor, and you have to think he'll be back. And if he is back and then comes back, it'll make them very tough. It's out. Well, who knows? Maybe there's an opening there, but guys like Cirelli have stepped up, Patrick Maroon, a blue line with Victor Hedman, who's just a dynamic player. Kevin Shattenkirk has fit in very well over there. It seems like they got the right mix when you see that third line with Yanni Gourde. That's their identity, that line with Gourde and Blake Coleman and Barkley Goudreau. If Stamkos did return and Kucherov somehow was cleared, and you could see Cirelli play on the third line, boy, that makes them even tougher. You could put Goudreau on the fourth line with Cedric Paquette. So they are going to be a tough out. Whoever advances, will they show some rust? The conference final will begin on Monday, so there will not be a lot of rest whoever advances tonight. But this is an exciting moment And for Islanders fans, it's a huge moment for them, for their team. They're trying to get somewhere where they haven't been since I was a junior in high school. And I'm a Ranger guy, but you know, I remember that 93 run, and that was a great run they had there. A great run. They have the Caps. I talked about Dale Hunter. I referenced the cheap shot, which might have cost the Islanders a chance at maybe making the Stanley Cup final. And then, of course, the Penguins defending them, having to go into Pittsburgh for a Game 7 and having to go to sudden death to win with David Pollock winning it, playing the unlikely hero. And then luck ran out against the Montreal Canadiens, and Patrick Roth was just determined. He was unbelievable in overtime that year, and the Canadiens, they were the OT Kings. And thinking of that, they crowned the Gretzky Kings, who pulled the upset against the Maple Leafs with Gretzky giving a performance for the ages with his hat trick and his bank goal, which turned out to be the winner in a great series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, who I felt they were the best team that year. Probably should have won with Doug Gilmore, with some of the players that they had. They had Gilmore, they had Andrew Chuck, they had a lot of great players on that team. And but they didn't get it done. And that includes Wendell Clark and Glenn Anderson, who was a factor as well. But they just couldn't get it done. And despite the fact that I thought they had the best team, they lost to the Kings and Gretzky, and the Kings went up 1-0 against the Canadiens, and you know what happened. McSorley with the illegal stick, and the Canadiens rallied to tie it. They pull the goal raw, and Desjardins ties it on the illegal stick. And then again in overtime, Desjardins scores the winner, and LeClair scored in overtime. So these things, you know, it's crazy when you think that it was that long ago. We're talking 3 decades ago almost. So we are in 2020. This has been a strange year, and the New York Islanders are in a Game 7 after leading the series 3-1. How important will it be to score the first goal in this game? That's a really good question right there. Could it be important? The Islanders are very good when it comes to playing with a lead, but they could not hold the 4-3 lead. They have not won a game where they have allowed 3 or more goals this postseason. And the Islanders are more close to the vest. And the Flyers were able to tie it. Giroux was able to find the seam to Lawton after a penalty kill. And Lawton came in on a breakaway, went to the beautiful forehand deep and tucked it home past Varlamov. Not a goal I would kill Varlamov for. Obviously, a breakaway. I mean, that was a great move by Lawton, who has been an unsung hero for the Philadelphia Flyers. And it's forced the sudden death. And it was a great double overtime to watch. It was fascinating hockey. Provorov was the hero. Pajot had a shorthanded rush, but it was broken up at the last second. And Carter Hart was busy. So what is going to happen tonight? Is there an unsung hero? Maybe it's someone that we haven't discussed. Who knows? I mean, this is what makes these games so just unpredictable and so compelling, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who's going to do it. Whether it's the fan that I mentioned who got the hat trick where he was inserted into the Stars lineup, including the sudden death winner for the Stars, who got burned by Pat Maroon. Last year, Harry Maroon, a fourth liner last year, who now is on the Lightning, giving him that same veteran experience and doing the little things that help you win. A great locker room guy who came home to St. Louis and helped them win a Stanley Cup and got the winner against the Stars. And maybe I underestimated the Stars, because the Stars did go to the second round, and they were so close to beating the Blues and getting to the conference final. And I do think they'll give the Vegas Golden Knights a series. They're going to need more production from Tyler Seguin. They're going to need more production from Jamie Benn. They need more production from those guys. Can't just be Joe Pavelski, who has been excellent for them. Radulov, who's been very good when he doesn't take penalties. Scored 2 yesterday. Took some penalties, some giveaways. It can't just be Miro Heiskanen or Klingberg. Hudobin's been excellent at that. You're going to need to be a little bit better. He got off the hook, I think. Well, not off the hook, but on Carlos. So the Islanders are about to let the Philadelphia Flyers off the hook. I mean, it's a great question, obviously. The Islanders, I mean, they've got a team that's got a lot of grit. Anders Lee is one of those guys that you expect to show up in this game. Barzal, of course. We've talked about Brock Nelson and how important he's been to this front. Anthony Beauvillier has been a real key factor. He scored some really key goals for this team. I love Pajot, obviously, although I hate him because of what he did to the Rangers with that four goal performance and the tying deflection and the overtime winner on the breakaway. I mean, but you know what? That guy wins faceoffs. He knows how to play. He's a playoff player. He's a guy who scores goals. He's always around the net. And maybe it's the game that Jordan Eberle gets off the side. So what will happen? It's so hard to predict. Regardless, I will have something up on NewYorkPuck.com. I'll probably put something up on the 2-game 7 last night early. Right now, in the middle of the day. And then maybe even later, we'll have something up on the Islanders and Flyers. A game that, if it finishes the regulation, should be over by about probably 9:45, 9:50. But in the event it goes sudden death again, how many Islander fans will be able to watch when their team has lost all 3 games to this Philadelphia Flyers team in sudden death? Will they be able to contain themselves? I'll be relaxed. I mean, as far as what happens. But it's going to be fun to watch, and it will be exciting. So that sets up a Game 7 between the New York Islanders and the Philadelphia Flyers. Old rivals, the old rivalry, the youth. Somebody will celebrate tonight. Somebody will be disappointed, hang your heads, and go home. Somebody's going to advance, and somebody's not. And there are going to be handshakes regardless. And it's going to be hard fought. And let's hope it's a great game. A game worthy of a Game 7. Because there's a lot riding on the line later tonight. Enjoy the game. And enjoy your Saturday. That includes the Kentucky Derby or whatever it is. Enjoy. We'll see you all later.